Hi everyone, this is Danny.
And this is Charissa, ready to bring you Looking Up.
Starting right after this song.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary. He suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. In glory, his face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Singing, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Singing, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
I begin to crave the things that I see. I must keep my eyes on Jesus, my Savior. He has promised heavenly treasures to me.
Look up and lift your eyes. The future's open wide. I have great plans for you.
My eyes on the horizon, I cannot settle here. How could I die in safety? I was born a pioneer.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Looking Up program, and we are coming to you live on a beautiful, cold Wednesday afternoon. It's Wednesday, the 28th of May. My name is Charissa, and I'm joined in studio by my co-host, Danny. How are you?
I'm very happy. The sun is out and, looking forward to this show.
Amen. And we have our wonderful producer, Rochelle. How are you?
Hi, everyone. Yes, doing good today.
Looking forward to the song selections and thank you for keeping us on
the air. It's always fluid because you never know what's going to happen.
I love it. I love keeping it organic, just keeping us all on our toes.
The only person who knows not what's sure. really going to happen is God.
Exactly. And isn't that what life is? You never know what's going to happen, you know, the next second, let alone the next minute or the next hour or the next day.
So true. Well, we have an exciting program for our listeners. If case you're tuning in, maybe for the first time, maybe you're regular listeners, feel free to give us a shout out and let us know you're listening on our studio number 0488 817 624 is the number to text us on. And I would encourage you to keep it handy because we do have a giveaway today. I'm looking at it here. We'll tell you about it a little bit later in the program, but it's going to be good. So what is our subject today that people can look forward to?
All right, my friend. Well, before I get to our subject, I want to give a couple of shout outs.
I haven't finished.
Oh, you haven't finished?
But you can go ahead now.
Okay. Couple of quick shout outs. So Matt, he comes to the RTM Church, Raymond Terrace, church where I'm pastoring. And I want to give a big shout out not only to him but to his daughter Chloe and Nelson. He's telling them that, you know, they're going to be given a big shout out, so hopefully they are listening. Mm-hmm. Also, my good friend Marty from Karua. I popped in and visited him yesterday. He lives like in a beautiful spot there, right on the waterway. So he said he'll be listening in. So Marty, good to have you on board. And Jeff, that's the guy that I shared with you from Allworth that turned up to RTM Church, and he's been listening to the Looking Up show.
Praise the Lord.
And so I visited him yesterday afternoon, and guess what he told me? He told me that we or someone had promoted, you know, we promote The Great Controversy, that book, The Great Controversy, and he decided to read it. He could not put it down. He was reading it online.
Wow.
He literally read The Great Controversy in a week.
Wow.
That's like a...
That is exciting.
That's almost like a 700-page book, and he read it in like a week. So, Jeff, if you're listening out there, mate, great to have you on board.
And absolutely.
So it's wonderful to connect with people, you know, who are listening to our program. So if you are listening, and maybe if you've just tuned in the last week or two, let us know. Send us a message.
Yes. 0488.
Yeah.
1764. I heard from Sue, who's your friend from Boolaroo.
Oh, good old Sue,
and
yeah.
She says
she's a regular.
Every week.
She does.
She lets us know she's been blessed.
Where did you bump into her?
She sent me a message.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Now, Sue's wonderful, and great to have you on board, Sue, as well. I'm sure you are listening right now. Well, today, before we get to the Bible study, we have an interview with
Kevin Amos,
who is in charge of Bubsy, as Bubsy makes her way around Australia.
What is Bubsy?
Well, you're going to have to keep listening to find out what is Bubsy and what's the big deal about Bubsy. So, so we're going to be talking to Kevin Amos, and, yeah, he's going to share something incredibly exciting, something that happened 100 years ago that is being it's being redone again in honor of what happened 100 years ago. So, we're going to hear from him after our song that we're going to have in a little bit.
Right.
But today's Bible study, we are going to be looking at Revelation 13. So every single program, we just briefly talk about Revelation 13 and how these events, and today's no different. Today we've got some more news in connection with Revelation 13 because it's just happening thick and fast. Every week it appears more and more. And so we want to give our Bible study. It's not going to be a long Bible study.
Yep.
A TikTok version of Revelation 13. There are two powers there that will come together at the end of time that the Bible identifies very clearly. So we're going to, you know, do a very condensed, like I said, a TikTok version study on Revelation 13. Then Sharissa is going to lead us on four different views of interpretation, how and why there's so much confusion in the world.
And it's so important to have the right approach to interpreting Bible prophecy.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't have the right approach, you'll end up at the wrong destination in your findings and conclusions.
Absolutely. So we're going to do that. So it's going to be pretty full on. And then we're going to be able to talk about current events in light of Bible prophecy as well.
All right. Well, what an exciting program.
There's so much. There's so much.
And since we have a little extra time, how is your weekend?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Great to have good weather.
Yes.
Praise the Lord for that. So I was able to get out and about and do some much-needed exercise.
You weren't flooded in anywhere.
No, I wasn't, praise the Lord. But the folk in on the mid-north coast, we've been praying for them, and it's been pretty horrific what's taken place there. They're saying like a 1-in-500-year flood.
Wow.
I'll have to tell you something after this as well.
So
we're going to unpack the New South Wales floods because that's connected with Bible prophecy as well.
Everything is connected with Bible prophecy.
It is.
Well, that's exciting. Well, looking forward to that. And yeah, we've already heard from one listener. Andrew is listening. He says, love listening every week. And he's from Tarelga. Okay. He's listening.
Tarelga.
Okay. Tarelga. There you go. Thank you.
Tarelgan. I love it.
Good to have you, Matt. This is Matt and Josie Minicus, Blessing in the Tears.
Where this path leads, I do not know. With all its twists and turns, but I've discovered in the unknown lessons I must learn, and that the darkness walked with Jesus is as precious as the light. Found I come to love him better as I walk by faith and not by sight. So I will follow where you lead me. I will seek to know your will, and I'll pursue you with my whole heart, your desires to fulfill. And I will trust that you are good, though sometimes I cannot see the blessing through the tears. On this path you're leading me, the blessing through the tears. On this path you're leading me. And in the valley, dark with shadows, where the path becomes unclear, and I'm struggling with the feeling that you're no longer near, I will look back on faith's summit, where not long ago we climbed, and claim again your promises that I trusted at the time. And I will follow where you lead me, I will seek to know your pursue you with my whole heart, your desires to fulfill, and I will trust that you are good, even when I cannot see the blessing through the tears. On this path you're leading me, the blessing through the tears. On this path you're leading. It's the paths I once have chosen, where you proved your love for me. The ones that were so painful have become my greatest blessings, 'cause you always have a blessing, even in the tears. So Lord, I'll follow where you lead me, I will seek to know your will, and I'll I'll pursue you with my whole heart, your desires to fulfill. And I will trust that you are good, and that someday I will see all the blessings in these tears. And I wouldn't change a thing, 'cause there are blessings in the tears. Yes, there are blessings in the tears for all who follow faithfully.
Matt and Josie Minnick is there bringing to us Blessing in the Tears, and you're listening to the Looking Up program. We are so glad that you are. We've been getting some texts. We acknowledged Andrew in the previous segment, and Astery is also listening. She says, shalom, shalom, friends. Always fascinated with this program. Listening from Melbourne.
Oh, wonderful. Melbourne, that's where I was born. That's where I was born.
Can anything good come from
no. Marvelous Melbourne. We were like, for 6 years in a row, or 7 years in a row, Melbourne was voted the most livable city on the planet.
It's a beautiful city.
Were you born in Melbourne?
I was born in Melbourne, born in Footscray. No, I was conceived in Macedonia and dropped off in Melbourne. Okay. That's my short bio. Not even ChatGPT has that detail. So anyway, but yeah, I was born in Footscray, Western General Hospital there in the inner west, and so that's where I was born.
Praise the Lord. We have listeners in Melbourne, and if you're listening to us and you haven't let us know, we'd love to know where you're listening from today. 04888 17624. And shall I tell them about this giveaway?
Quickly do that. Yeah,
because we have seven copies, one for every day of the week, of this book called Who Do You Think You Are? Finding
It was meant to be Life. They've done a spelling error.
They did do a spelling error. Finding Life Through Real Faith. And this is a little book by Doug Batchelor. It addresses identity crisis, and it talks about who you are, what you wear, what you think. I think it's going to be interesting. I'll read you the blurb here. Do you know who you really are? Many people don't. Selfishness and pride can camouflage the real you. The true you can also be obscured by popular culture, repackaged by the deceptions of the media, and warped by the cares of this world. Furthermore, Satan has and his minions are out to steal the spiritual identities of God's children, seeking to obscure the truth and confuse us as to who we really are in God. Only in the light of Christ's sacrifice can we begin to appreciate how much we are worth. It looks like a really good book. So everybody just keep listening, because we're going to give away a code word, and the first seven people to text the code word in today's program to the number 04888 17624 will receive this as a gift.
Amen. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Talking about books.
All right.
Our special guest is with us right now, Kevin Amos, and he's joining us from WA, right across the country. Are you out there, Kevin? Can you hear us?
Yes. Afternoon, Danny. Afternoon, Carissa. I am in Bunbury in Western Australia.
Bunbury in Western Australia.
Good.
Okay, fantastic. And so, Kevin, tell us, what are you doing there in Bunbury? And tell us what Bubsy is all about. We said we're going to talk about Bubsy. Tell us why you are taking Bubsy and what Bubsy is around Australia.
Okay, thank you, Danny. A team of us currently in Bunbury heading to Perth to get Bubsy, which is a 102-year-old citron, to Perth to commence a 100th anniversary of the first car to circumnavigate Australia.
Wow.
So 100 years ago, starting August 4, two young men, Neville, I think he was 20, and Greg, 22, somewhere about there, set off from Perth, if possible, to get to Darwin, selling a Christian book called Our Day in the Light of Prophecy. They use the car as their, what would you call it, transport vehicle. But it was a real challenge because for the last third of the trip, there were no roads. They were basically bush bashing, driving from homestead to homestead, remote community to remote community. And when they finally reached Darwin, they said, no way in the world are we driving back down that track. And so they kept on driving across from Darwin to the Northern Territory, to Queensland, down through New South Wales, Victoria, South Australia, and back to Perth. And so Bubsy became the first car to circumnavigate Australia 100 years ago.
Wow, that is that is amazing. And tell us, where is the original Bubsy? I understand that the original Bubsy is still alive and well and here in Australia.
The original Bubsy was gifted to the Australian National Museum, and so it's in Canberra, but because of its historic value, it is kept in a air-conditioned building along with other historic cars of Australian history heritage. So from time to time it is put on display. I don't know whether they will be putting it on display later this year, but it's kept in safe storage.
Oh, wow. And isn't it interesting that Bubsy is kept in an air-conditioned room? I'm sure Neville and Greg would love to have had some air conditioning in Bubsy 100 years ago. I'm reading the book, Kevin, The Overlander, celebrating the centenary of the first car journey around Australia. I've been reading that and just fascinated by the story. It's just a little 64-page book. This is just a fascinating little book, and this is a book that you guys are giving out as you're going to various towns where Bubsy 100 years ago went for the first time?
Okay, that's correct. We, as I said, are endeavouring to get to Perth to start the circumnavigating of Australia, but currently at the moment we are travelling roads that Bubsy never went on, mainly to be able to display our tribute vehicle, which was manufactured the same year to the same specifications. And so far we have done 99 displays. Number 100 is tonight.
Oh, wow.
And we have displayed Bubsy to over 11,000 people, told the story, and we're probably giving away somewhere between 4,000 and 5,000 of those books, The Overlander.
Wow.
Wow.
So already 11,000 people you have connected with in connection with this story, and 4,000 or 5,000 books. That's quite incredible. So where did you begin this journey with Bubsy?
All right, the car was rejuvenated or reconstructed in the Riverland, but it was kept at Currumbong, where you currently are broadcasting from. And so we commenced the journey from that Newcastle area, working our way down to Sydney. But instead of going down the Hume Highway, which where Neville and Greg took Bubsy, we went down the Princes, down the coastal strip of Melbourne. Then we went up through the Riverland into Adelaide and visited some of the southern suburbs of Adelaide, whereas Neville did the northern ones. But once we crossed the Nullarbor, there's not too many alternate roads across the Nullarbor. We went down to Esperance, Albany, and now we're working our way up through Manjimup, Busselton, and we're now at Bunbury, and next week we'll hit Perth at the bottom, and we will officially leave Perth to start the journey June 22.
Wow. So as you're making your way around Australia, so I understand it was like about a 17,000 kilometre journey, the original journey, somewhere around...
That's right.
Is that right?
17,220 or something. And
wow.
we're going to do about 33 or 34,000.
Yeah.
Because we're getting across to Perth, going round to Perth, and then we've got to come back home again.
Yep.
And coming back home, we're going to try another alternate route just again to expose the story to more people.
Wow. So... If people, like, we've got listeners obviously right around Australia, if people want to find out if Bubsy is coming to their town or nearby, and they'd love to go and see Bubsy and just be part of it, where can they go to find information?
Okay, there is a website called Right Around Australia. Now, a shortcut to it is tij.tv/RAA, and on that website is the schedule saying where the car will be on what date.
Oh, excellent.
And also on that schedule, tij.tv/RAA, is the actual places where Bubsy will be on display.
Wow.
In some places, we visit schools. Others, Bubsy's on display in public parks, shopping centres, roadside stops. We've done all sorts of interesting places. We have so far had a young man propose to his girlfriend in Bubsy.
Oh, wow.
We have... had the next day a married couple celebrate, I think it was their 36th wedding anniversary, and had their pictures officially taken in Bubsy. But what is probably more fascinating is we have yesterday, had Neville's grandson.
Oh, wow.
Actual descendant of the driver come and see Bubsy, and on Saturday we're going to do a interview with him because he, as a kid, grew up driving the original Bubsy.
Oh, wow. Wow. And where are you going to be on Saturday for that interview?
Here in Bunbury.
Bunbury. Wow, there you go, folks. So if you're anywhere near Bunbury, yeah, that would be a wonderful opportunity. So in the last few minutes that we have, Kevin, tell us why did Neville and his friend Greg decide to go on this journey? This book, Our Day in the Light of Prophecy, which really, I'd love to actually read that book because our show is all about Bible prophecy and the soon return of Jesus. So how did he get to that point? I mean, did he just wake up one morning and decide to do it? How did it happen?
Okay. Neville, who was the key person, Greg abandoned the trip in Albury in New South Wales. He said, I've got family here, I'm staying here. And he didn't travel any further. So that was Greg. So Neville completed the trip from Albury through Melbourne, Adelaide, back to Perth by himself. But the story centres on Neville, who, as an 18-year-old, went to Perth with his family and attended a Bible prophecy seminar. Now, what fascinated Neville was the accuracy of Bible prophecy predictions. And it amazed him so much that he made a commitment to be a Christian. And he then took himself off to a Bible college. We now know it as Carmel SDA College. But back then it was more of a tertiary institution. And Neville did a two-year Bible instructor course. And as a student, he was allowed to sell the book, Our Day, to assist with his own financial raising of money for fees and personal living expenses. Anyway, at the beginning of 1924, Neville was attending a Bible camp in Perth, and one of the administrators at that Bible camp said, "We are needing people to travel to the northern reaches of Western Australia to sell the book, Our Day in the Life of Prophecy." And Neville put up his hand and said, "Well, I'm single, I'm not married, I've completed my 2-year Bible instructor course, I'm quite happy to go." Mm. And so he set out, first of all, walking and with a push bike. And on his push bike, he travelled 1,500 kilometres.
Wow.
up north of Perth, getting right up as far as Meekatharra, selling the book. He became a little bit more financial and then bought a motorbike and continued up in that area, travelling for about 10,500 kilometres until the motorbike died one day. He got himself back to Perth and said, "I need something more reliable," and that's when he bought Bubsy and convinced his fellow student Greg to go with him, and they were authorised to sell the book through Western Australia and up through the Northern Territory into Darwin. And without realising it, they became the drivers of the first vehicle that ever travelled from Perth to Darwin through the Western Australia Northern Territory border. So that was the first. Bubsy was the second car that ever got to Halls Creek, and that was a feat in and of itself. And then as they continued to travel, they then became the first car that travelled from Perth through the Northern Territory into Queensland, and then eventually became the first vehicle that circumnavigated Australia.
Wow. There you go, folks. This Aussie tradition, which is on the bucket list of so many, including myself. I'd love to do it one day, traveling around Australia. This all began 100 years ago with a man by the name, well, two men by the name of Neville and Greg, and this wonderful Bubsy car and this book, Our Day in the Light of Bible Prophecy. Powerful stuff. Well, Kevin, now, yes?
Yeah, Alan Sonter, a friend of the Incredible Journey Ministries, took the book Our Day in the Light of Prophecy and condensed it, modernized the language, and it's now a 100-page book that is available on the TIJ.tv website.
Oh, wow.
But the actual book that Neville was selling.
Oh, wow. Thanks for sharing that. That's great.
That is available. And when I was going through Kempsey last year, I put the car on display at a church, and a gentleman came out and said, "I think I have an original copy of that book at home." Hmm. And I said, "Oh, that would be interesting to have a look at it." He says, "I'll go and get it." So he went home, and about 15 minutes later turned up, and sure enough, he had an original copy of the book. This one was printed in 1913.
Wow.
The original copy of the book that Neville and Greg were selling. Mm. And I have that copy with me. He gave it to me. And it's traveling with us, and we're showing people is an actual example of the book that they were selling.
Wow, fantastic.
Up through Western Australia.
Oh, wow. Praise the Lord. Well, hey, Kevin, we are just so thankful that you have been able to take time out of your busy schedule to share with us on the Looking Up show. Yeah, we wish you all the best. And, folk, Right Around Australia is the website, or tij.tv/RAA is where you can get to that website and all the information. God bless you guys. And, yeah, we look forward to touching base with you again another day this year, if that's okay.
Yeah, we will be back through your area.
Fantastic. God bless.
Thank you.
Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come follow me. And we see where thy footprint's fallen, lead us to thee. Though they lead o'er the cold dark mountains, seeking his sheep, or along by Siloam's fountains, helping the weak. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We'll follow the steps of Jesus where they go. If they lead through the temple holy, preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lowly, that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where they go. Then at last, when on high he sees us, our journey done, where the steps of Jesus end at his throne. Oh, oh, footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where they go. Oh, oh, footprints of Jesus that make steps of Jesus where they go, where they go, where they go.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
You're listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Do you have Bible questions? Join me, Lyle, at 5 o'clock every Thursday during Afternoons with Sil. We give Bible answers for all your difficult questions. Our commitment? We will leave no Bible question unanswered. So send in your questions to The Shell Show on 0488 880856.
Look up and lift your eyes. The future's open wide. I have great plans for you. Oh, yes, I do.
And God certainly does have good plans for you. This is the Looking Up
Amen.
Show. And we just had a great interview with Kevin Amos.
Didn't we ever?
About Bubsy. And we had a listener, Andrew, says, I saw them a couple of months ago on the road with Bubsy in the trailer going through that place in...
Terrelgan.
That way.
Trullalilligan. I love it. I prefer Trullalilligan. Don't you? Don't you, Michelle? Isn't that a far better way to pronounce it?
It makes you want to break out in singing.
Trullalilla. I love it.
Anyway, so we have come to that point where we should tell everybody again about
this.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So the book is by Doug Batchelor today, a giveaway. Who do you think you are? Finding life through real faith. If you want to know who you are in Christ, this book will be a blessing
to you. By Doug Batchelor.
By Doug.
He's going to be here.
Dougie B.
August 12th.
No way. Is he coming to
August 12th. He's coming to Newcastle.
Can we go?
Yep. Dougie. Dougie is coming to Newcastle August 12th.
Is this the Dougie B?
The Dougie B.
In the flesh.
In the flesh.
Wow. To a church?
No. Oh, church. No. There'll be too many people. It's going to be...
In the stadium?
In a big stadium there in Newcastle.
I think it's going to be a civic theatre.
Yeah, the civic theatre, yeah.
I think Faith FM should... I think the Looking Up show should be there.
Absolutely.
We should go.
Absolutely.
We will be there. We'll even wear our T-shirts if people want to come.
It's a bittersweet item for me because I'm not going to be here.
Oh.
I'm going to be on a 30th anniversary with my wife. We booked the holiday and I'm like, I dare not say to my wife, let's cancel our 30th anniversary trip. Oh, it's overseas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that she might say, why don't you just live with Dougie B? And that'd be that. So I may be like Bubsy on the road. Just
I think
nowhere to live on
I
the
think
road.
It's wise to go.
I think I better go. I better go. So
be good. That'd be good.
But
we'll
yeah,
tell
I will.
You about it.
I know you will tell me. But yeah, that's going to be August 12th,
okay.
Tuesday,
all
August
right.
12th.
So that's true news, folks. He is coming to Newcastle, so we'll keep telling you more about it. But in the meantime, the book is a giveaway today. We only have 7 copies, and we'll give away the code word. A little bit later?
Yeah, in the next section.
Next segment. So keep listening. And the number to keep handy, 0488-17624. And while we were having our previous segment, I had another person send us an ad. This is from Paul in Moolambar up there, Paul Kaczynski. He asked us to advertise that there is the Maker Heals program going to be held at the Log Cabin here in the North New South Wales region from July 21 to 30. And if anyone's interested in finding out more about this health program, health-related program, go to makerheals.org.
Okay, there you go. That's a good program. Very good program. All right, time for our Bible study. And as I shared in our opening, we will be doing a TikTok Bible study on Revelation 13 because there's just so much to get through as far as current events in light of Bible prophecy. And I love the title of that book that our friend Neville, 100 years ago, literally 100 years ago, he was inspired because it changed. Bible prophecy changed his life.
Yeah.
And I'm here, Charissa, because Bible prophecy changed my life.
Absolutely. Changed my life, my family's life. And that's
wow. Praise
that's
the Lord.
Why I'm here.
And so, yeah, the book of Revelation is my favorite book of the Bible. Isn't that right, Rochelle? It's my favorite book of the Bible.
Absolutely.
Because it turned my life, you know, upside down, right side up, as I like to say, you know, at the age of 18. So ever since then, I've been studying this book and just, you know, just digging deep into the beautiful truths because it really is a beautiful final book of the Bible that reveals Jesus Christ and his wonderful plans for our lives. But it also reveals the enemy and how he wants to take away from the blessings that Jesus so much wants to give us. And ultimately, he wants to save us. So it's a beautiful book, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. So we're going to be going to the heart of the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're going to be going to Revelation 13 as we take a look at our day in the light of prophecy, 100 years on from Neville. So we're going to pray and then we're going to plunge into this TikTok Bible study looking at Revelation 13. So Charissa, would you be able to pray for us, please?
Father in heaven, Lord, we want to ask for your blessing, for the guidance of your Holy Spirit as we study the pages of your sacred word. May you guide us and lead us into your truth and a better understanding of Jesus as we look up to you now as our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, in the interest of time, in order to get through everything we need to, I'm going to do a lot of summarizing. However, if you would like to get the full message, I've actually put a video series together and it's online. So one of the good things about COVID and the lockdowns was that I couldn't run any programs in person. I couldn't go and do what I love to do and actually see people, talk to people. We had to do it online. And so Rochelle will remember there at my old church at Hillview Church there in Morissette. They've got a wonderful, filming, setup there. And so I was able to utilize, you know, the goodness of the folk there who did the AV work for me. And so we've posted a whole bunch of things online. And so I've got a series on Revelation 14, 6 to 12, the three angels' messages. I've got a series, a 12-part series where I unpack it in great detail. And the website is discoverhope.info. So discoverhope.info. You can go there, and Rochelle, actually, she's the one that looks after the website.
Oh, wonderful.
She uploads all the different series. So there's about seven different series on there, including Revelation, Second Coming, a health series, a series on Noah, and so on and so forth. But there you'll find a detailed description of what we're going to deal with in summarized form. So Revelation 13. Would you like to read, please, verses 1 to 3? In fact, let's set the table first. Revelation 13, there are two primary powers here. There is a first beast in Revelation 13, verses 1 to 10, that comes out of the sea, and we're going to discover who that is to begin with. And then we're going to follow that up with a second beast and identify who this second beast is from verse 11 to 17 that rises up out of the earth. So let's start off with this first beast. So if you'd like to read Revelation 13, verses 1 to 3, and then I will make some comments as we go along to help people understand what we're talking about.
Sure. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast.
Okay, this is this beast in Revelation 13 that is described here. We're introduced to this power. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, this is significant. We need to know who this power is, because when you go to Revelation 14, we're just going to go over to Revelation 14. In the third angel's message, you have probably the most serious warning in all of Scripture, not just the book of Revelation, in all of Scripture, that especially applies to those that will be living at the end of time in connection with this beast power. So would you like to read Revelation 14, verses 9 to 11?
Yes. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name."
Okay, thank you so much. And then in verse 12, we have those who will not worship the beast, and maybe worth reading that, because this is the other group who are faithful to God. How are they described in verse 12?
"Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus."
Okay, so we've got two groups here at the end of time. One group are described as, you know, commandment keeping, faithful saints of Jesus Christ, you know, to put it in a nutshell. The other group, they worship the beast and his image, and they receive his mark.
So one is commandment keeping and the other is mark receiving.
So when we get to Revelation 13, okay, we discover here that there is this power that is identified. So we need to know who this beast power is in order to then go the next step and find out what is this image of the beast, which we're going to deal with in the second half of Revelation 13. Yep. And, you know, what is this mark of the beast? So this is extremely important. You can't understand what the mark of the beast is until you understand who this beast power is.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So that's the first step. And that's why Revelation 13 precedes Revelation 14 and the third angel's message in connection with the mark of the beast. So we've got some identification marks here. And so this power here that's referred to as the beast is also referred to in six other different ways, Charissa, throughout scripture. It's referred to as the Antichrist. That's how most people know this power, as the Antichrist. Here as the beast in Revelation 13.
The word Antichrist.
Okay, the word Antichrist is defined in two ways. An adversary of Christ or in the place of Christ. So the word anti means...
I think of being against.
Yeah, but the word anti can mean in the place being of. Against or being in the place of. And actually with this power, it's both. This power seeks to place itself in the place of Christ and as a result is directly against Christ. And his truth. And that's why in the third angel's message, you have those who worship the beast and his image and receive the mark. And then you've got the opposite, those who keep the commandments of God, have the faith of Jesus, and they are called patient saints. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my
commandments.
Okay. So this power is also referred to as Babylon in Revelation, the harlot in Revelation, man of sin and son of perdition in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul speaks of this power in those terms. And as the little horn power in Daniel chapter 7. Seven different ID markers to help us to understand, you know, the broadness of this power and what it encapsulates.
Right.
So, with all that in mind, let's take a look at seven different identification marks of this beast or this Antichrist power.
Oh, I love this kind of thing. Okay. Like, I like it when you get points from the Bible and you
from
put
the
them
Bible.
On the table and then you just, yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
So, this is from the Bible. All right. So, in verse 1, we have the time and the place in history when this power would arise. Really? And how do we know that?
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Well, you've got to go to Daniel chapter 7. You remember? I said Daniel chapter 7 has the little horn power. So you go to Daniel chapter 7. Keep your finger
there,
folks.
These are like companion books.
These are two companion books. So as we'll discover.
One unlocks the other.
Absolutely. Like a hand in a glove. So in Daniel chapter 7, we discover when this power comes onto the scene of history and where.
Okay.
The when and the where. Okay. So in Daniel chapter 7, we're not going to take the time to read all these verses from verse 1 through to verse 8. But in Daniel chapter 7, like we read, sorry, before we get there, in Revelation 13, we spoke, this beast is made up of a leopard body.
Yep.
Okay. The feet of a bear, mouth of a lion. It's got, you know, seven heads. 10 horns and 10 crowns on its heads. Okay. So when you get to Daniel 7, you discover that there are four beasts there. Okay. There's a lion.
Yes.
There's a bear, a leopard, and then this dragon like beast. Okay. And this dragon like beast.
Nondescript.
Yes. But I refer to it as a dragon like beast, the way it's described.
Yeah. It's terrible.
It's terrible. Yeah. A terrible beast indeed. And I think that's the words.
That is dreadful and terrible.
Dreadful and terrible. They're the words that Daniel actually uses. This fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. Exceedingly strong. And so we know from Daniel chapter 2, because Daniel chapter 7 is a repetition of Daniel chapter 2, where we've got the kingdoms there. Do you want to go through the kingdoms in Daniel chapter 2? What are they?
So we have in Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar saw that metal image, which had different metals, beginning with the head of gold, Babylon, chest and arms of silver, Medo-Persia, belly of bronze, being Greece, legs of iron, Rome, and then feet of iron and clay mixed.
The division of Rome.
Yeah.
And this church-state union that would continue after the division of Rome. So what we have here in Daniel 7 is a repetition, but instead of using metals, Daniel here is using animals.
And he seems to give more details.
And he gives a lot more details. You know, just this
so
is...
So he repeats and enlarges.
Repeat and enlarge. I was about to say the words. Wonderful. So we go through and we discover that after this fourth kingdom, which is Rome, mm-hmm. in Daniel 7:7, if you want to read Daniel 7, verse 8.
I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words.
Okay, or blasphemous words. So this is this power in Revelation 13. So the power in Revelation 13 comes up after the Roman Empire
right.
has concluded its reign, and it will reign there in the midst of the divided Roman Empire.
Right, and the reason you know this is the same beast, as like it's the same power as the beast mentioned in Revelation 13 mm-hmm. is because it does the same things?
It does the same things, and there's a number of connecting identification marks that are found in both chapters, which we will look at as we go along. Okay. So there's a time prophecy there. There's the blasphemy, which we've already come across in Revelation 13:1, and here it speaks blasphemies. Mm-hmm. And so we know that this power at the end of time that's referred to here in Revelation 13
yes.
comes up in Western Europe, and it comes up at the end of the fall of the Roman Empire, and it comes up amongst the breakup of the Roman Empire.
And it uproots three of them.
And it uproots three kingdoms. Absolutely. So that's all I need to say from there. The dragon, okay, in Revelation 13:2, back to Revelation 13:2, we read that the dragon, verse 2, gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Mm-hmm. Now, the dragon has two meanings, and one of them is the devil and Satan, and the mm-hmm. other one is pagan Rome. Mm-hmm. And we get that from Revelation chapter 12.
Okay.
So we're going to pause it there.
Oh, that just flew, that one. Let's listen to Selah bring to us Be Thou My Vision as we turn our eyes to Jesus just now.
Treasure thou art.
everyone. You're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right. And if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun. So catch you then.
Beautiful, beautiful music. I think Selah brings some of the best music.
Amen.
They have some really, really beautiful, prayerful songs. Thank you, Rochelle, for that. And you're listening, of course, to the Looking Up show, and we want to give away a code word because we want you to be able to be in the running to obtain today's giveaway by Doug Batchelor, Who Do You Think You Are? Finding Life Through Real Faith. The goal of this book is to help you discover who you really are and who you can really become through Christ. So if you're interested in this book, we only have 7 copies, and today you can obtain them by simply texting the code word to our number 0488 17624, and the code word is...
Rochelle, the code word is... Here we go. LU25 think.
Ah, LU25 think. All together, one word, no emojis, text LU25 think. THINK 20488 17624. First 7 people to do so, this is coming straight to you as a little gift from us.
Fantastic, fantastic. Great little book. And remember, Dougie's coming. Dougie is coming in August.
The real Dougie B.
Oh, it's going to be so exciting, and I won't be there.
I put my registration in already after you told me.
Oh, already?
I'm like, yeah, I'm going.
Oh, no, there you go, folk. All right. So, so we're in this Bible study. So this power, it's none other based on when it arises. It arises, you know, at the end of the Roman Empire. So when Rome has fallen, right. Rome has been divided amongst the various nations that carved up the Roman Empire, and that's obviously there in Rome, in Western Europe. It receives its power from pagan Rome, which is this dragon beast in a secondary sense. The dragon ultimately is the devil and Satan, but in Revelation 12, we know that Satan worked through the dragon, which was Rome, in order to seek to destroy baby Jesus.
That's true.
In Revelation chapter 12.
That's true.
And so this power is none other than the Roman papacy. So the Roman papacy is this first beast of Revelation chapter 13. Okay. So there are a few more clues as to the reality of this and why we come to this conclusion. Mm-hmm. You read in verse 3 that this power would receive a deadly wound, but then it would have a miraculous resurrection, and that the whole world would follow after its dictates. Mm-hmm. Now, we know that the Roman papacy did receive a deadly wound. It received a deadly wound in 1798. You remember that?
Yes.
We've talked about that. In 1798, it received a deadly wound. And we know that from 1929, when the Roman papacy received its sovereignty back, which is Vatican City, Vatican State, the healing of the wound has begun in earnest. So it's almost been healing for about 100 years now, you know, since 1929. And we know that this would happen. And verse 10, I won't go to Revelation 13:10 right now, but we will go there, because there it's in connection with the persecution that would take place under this power. So this power would rule and reign and sadly persecute the people of God for a period of 1,260 years. Now, how do we know that? If you would like to read Revelation 13 and verse 5, please.
And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months.
Okay, so in Bible prophecy, one day equals how long?
A literal year.
Okay, so that's a symbol. So a day.
So 42 months of years.
That's right, 42
days
months.
Which are years.
So, and a biblical month was how long?
30 days.
30 days. Okay, so a biblical month is 30 days. And so 30 times 42, folk, you can get your calculators out and you get to 1,260.
Mm-hmm.
So for 1,260 years, this power ruled and reigned. It began in 538 AD.
Mm-hmm.
and it ruled
until its power was taken away.
Until its power was taken away in 1798, exactly 1,260 years.
Incredible.
And what's fascinating, Sharissa, is that this time period, this prophetic time period, is given in Daniel and Revelation in the three different ways to measure time prophecies, which was like 42 months, like months. Mm-hmm. We've got that. We've also got time, times and a half a time, which is the 3.5 year, time being 1 year, times being 2 years, and a half a time being half a year. So 3.5 years, 3.5 years of 30-day months brings you to 1,260. And it literally gives you 1,260 days. And you can maybe read that.
God doesn't want us to miss it. He's like, this is important.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And he repeats it so many times in different ways so we don't miss it.
He does. He does. Powerful stuff. And that wasn't the Malenkov. That was just me joking. That was just me joking. And, yeah, that 1,260 days is mentioned in Revelation 12 and verse 6. Maybe worth reading that.
I think so. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Wow.
There you go.
Isn't the Bible amazing?
It's amazing. And that time period of 1,260 days, you know, in those three different ways to measure biblical prophetic time,
right,
is given seven times in Daniel and Revelation. So we ought not to miss it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, why did this woman flee into the wilderness? Well, it's because sadly, the people of God were being persecuted by the Church of Rome that had united with the governments of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So church and state were in union. They were in bed together. And we have that taking place if you read Revelation 13, verse 7.
Okay. The Bible says, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation.
Okay. So it was granted to give him, it was granted to him to make war with the saints.
Yes.
Okay. And Daniel speaks of that as well. Now this in connection with the Church of Rome, you know, in connection with the governments of the day, persecuting the people of God, Revelation 13:10 also speaks of that, and it says that it would also be persecuted in the end. It would receive a deadly wound. If you want to read Revelation 13, verse 10.
He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints.
So can you see it here? So here we are told what we were told in Revelation 13, 3, mm-hmm, when I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded.
Yes.
So the Church of Rome, in connection, once again, folk, we say this every time when we address this subject, God here is not speaking of people. Mm. He's speaking of systems and powers.
These are placeholders.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's really, really important for us to understand.
Because God loves absolutely every person on the planet.
And there are so many, you know, faithful Roman Catholic Christians around the world, you know, that love God, you know, are just completely oblivious to what the Bible has to say in connection with the church that they happen to belong to. And ultimately, in the end, as we know from Revelation 18, verse 4, God calls people out of Babylon. He calls people out of confusion, wherever they may be, in whatever system in the world. So once again, not people, but as Sharissa pointed out, placeholders and systems and powers that are contrary to God. Okay, so let's move on from there. At point number six, so I've given you five already. Point number six, it speaks blasphemous words against God. And you have that in verse one. We read that already, where it says at the end of verse one, and on his heads are blasphemous name. So, Sharissa, we need to find, and in verse five, if you want to read, verse 5, we read it earlier, but you can read it again.
And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue 42 months.
Okay, now blasphemy, and in verse 6 it mentions it twice as well. So blasphemy is mentioned three times in Revelation 13. So this is a key point. And it's interesting, if you want to read verse 6, we haven't read verse 6 because there's something I just want to bring out here.
Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven.
Wow. So can you see this spiritual assault on God and everything that is valuable in the sight of God.
Yes.
His name, which is his character.
Right.
Right. His tabernacle, which is in connection with, you know, his sanctuary, the sanctuary message, the plan of salvation.
Yes.
And then those who dwell in heaven, speaking of, you know, this power will seek to raise itself up in the place of God. And you remember right at the beginning, we discovered that the word antichrist means not only against or in opposition to Christ, but it can also mean
in place of.
All right. So really, really important. So let's find out, according to the Bible, what blasphemy is. Because a lot of people are like, well, this is what I think blasphemy is, or, you know, God doesn't do a popular vote. Mm-hmm. So let's find out what the Bible has to say. Okay. If you would like to read John chapter 10 and verse 30 through to verse 33. Here we have Jesus being condemned, or Jesus being accused, I should say, of blasphemy. John 10, verse 30 to 33.
I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God.
Okay, so what is a biblical definition of blasphemy?
Well, someone who claims to be God.
A human being. Or a human institution.
God. Yeah.
Yeah, that's blasphemy. Now, does the Church of Rome claim that the Pope represents God here on earth as the vicar of Christ?
I believe it does.
It does, yeah. I'm
trying
absolutely.
To think of an actual quote.
Oh, there's plenty of them. I'll share one with you.
There's one from Pope Leo.
Oh, well, sure. Is that right?
Yeah, not the recent one, but way back. He's his predecessor.
Let me share this with you. This is from Ferrari's Ecclesiastical Dictionary, Volume 6. So this is an official Roman Catholic dictionary. And in connection with the Pope, this is what it says. This is Volume 6. The Pope is of so great dignity and so exalted that he is not a mere man, but as it were God.
Mm.
The Pope is called Most Holy. Isn't that interesting? Because that's what the world leaders refer to him.
His Holiness, Your Holiness.
Your Holiness, Most Holy, Your Holiness, so on and so forth. The Pope is called Most Holy because he is rightfully presumed to be such.
Mm.
He is likewise the divine monarch and supreme emperor and king of kings.
Mm.
These are all titles in connection with Jesus Christ. And you remember when I shared it either last week or the week before, when Pope Leo was welcomed onto the balcony and introduced to the world. You remember in Latin those words, you know, Lord, you know, he is the Lord, Lord Pope Leo, like capital L. So, Your Holiness, Holy Father, these titles are only for God.
Mm.
They don't belong to man. So yes, sadly, the church fits this identification mark as well. And there's many other statements that could be read in connection with what the church has said, in connection with who the Pope is and what he claims. Okay, so let's take a look at our second definition,
mm-hmm.
and that is claiming the, a second definition. Let's go to Luke 5, verse 20 and 21. And then let's find out what the Bible says here. Luke 5, verse 20 and 21.
When he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?
Okay, so what's another definition of blasphemy?
Forgiving sins.
Okay. Does
a person, human being, claiming to be able to forgive
does the
sins.
Church of Rome have within its system a belief that the priest has the power
yes.
to forgive you your sins as you confess in the confessional?
When I went to Europe, mm-hmm. I traveled, I was in the Czech Republic, and I went to several cathedrals that were there, just massive, amazing structures and pieces of architecture. And there were inside those cathedrals a little wooden booth at the back, which mm-hmm. is a confessional, you know, the purpose people go there and they confess their sins and the priest sits on the other side. And I don't know what else happens, but that's my understanding of what was going on in those
absolutely.
Groups.
And I've been to St. Peter's,
mm-hmm.
You know, there in Vatican City, and there's a number of confessionals there throughout the church.
Which Yeah, the Bible says there is one mediator
indeed
between God and man, the man Christ Jesus.
Amen. That's what we read in Timothy. Mm-hmm. And so this is very, very clear. And the last point I want to just bring out, there's a number of others, but in the interest of time, this power would seek to change God's times and laws.
Right.
Okay. So we know from Revelation 14, we read earlier in connection with this Mark of the Beast crisis, there'll be two groups. One group will keep the commandments of God. Mm. The other group will obviously not keep the commandments of God. And here we have the Mark of the Beast crisis in Revelation 13 at the end of Revelation 13.
Yeah.
And the opposite to the mark of the beast is a seal of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the law of God is at the very heart of the seal of God at the end of time. And so in Daniel chapter 7, in verse 25 there, we discover there that this power will seek to change times and laws.
Mm-hmm.
Now, has the Church of Rome...
King James says,
think
to change.
Yes.
Like, they can't, but they can think.
Indeed. Indeed, just like our code word, think.
That's right.
So we have this power seeking to change times and laws, and the church itself has said over and over again that it has changed God's law. It has the power to do that. In fact, I'll read to you one statement here from the Catholic Ferrari's Ecclesiastical Dictionary, once again an official Catholic dictionary, where it says, "The Pope is of so great authority and power that he can modify, change, or interpret even divine laws."
Mm.
The Pope can modify divine laws since his power is not of man but of God. So this fits this ID mark to a T as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the Sabbath has been changed to the first day of the week. We know the second commandment has been taken out. Mm-hmm. The 10th commandment has divided into two. So we know that full well, not to mention some other temperings that have taken place.
Really?
Yeah. So, well, you know, the shortening of the commandments. So, so we know these things have taken place. So at the end of the day, that's who this power is. So very clear from Revelation 13 that this first beast is none other than the Roman papacy. So now we're up to the second beast after this song.
All right. Forbes family, which way will you choose?
As the world becomes entwined in the lies from Satan's mind, a leader will arise to take the reins. Satan, love will bring us peace if you put your hope in me. Renounce the name of Jesus or be slain. Which way will you choose? Which way will you choose? You got everything to gain. You got everything to lose. As the masses take his mark, believe a lie to chill their hearts. They'll know the time has come, seal of faith. Those who cling to the cross will refuse and pay the cost, as God redeems his own from the sea of hate. Which way will you choose? Which way will you choose? You got everything to gain. You got everything to lose. As the age draws to an end, hope will tumble down again. The Lord will make them feel their sin and shame. Choice right now. Trust in Christ, our hope and crown. Or watch the world you love go up in flames. Which way will you choose? Which way will you choose? You got everything to gain. You got everything to lose. Which way will you choose? Which way will you choose? You got everything to gain. You got everything to lose.
Well, hopefully that woke everyone up. Forbes family, which way will you choose?
Beautiful song.
Beautiful song. Danny was getting all excited here.
I was getting excited, folks, because there is breaking news. Breaking news.
Yes.
Before we get to that, we can do the book.
The code word. The code word is.
I almost had a heart attack, folks, with what Charissa shared. I almost had a heart attack. This was huge. Okay, the code word.
I can't believe he didn't know.
Well, I knew of the statement, but I didn't know who made it.
Oh, gotcha.
And I didn't know some of the other stuff that I know now.
I didn't know that other stuff. That was amazing.
All right.
Okay, so.
Before we get to that other stuff.
What are you talking about?
How much more cryptic?
This is hectic. This is hectic. You can't make this stuff up.
Again.
You can't make. Yeah, you're going to need the drum roll. Not yet, but after we give the code word.
The code word is LU25THINK, and there are takers, so everybody be quick. Text the code word LU25THINK to 04-888-17624.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Wow, this is huge. You can't make this stuff up. I've got to gather my thoughts. All right, here we go.
He might need more time. Might need a few drum rolls.
I might need a few days. This is huge, huge, huge.
Doesn't get bigger than that.
All right, okay. In our Bible study, this is like breaking news. Like, this is just huge. All right. Now that I've said it 20 times. In our last segment there, we discovered that one identification mark of blasphemy is to claim to be
God
on earth or to take the place or the prerogatives of God on earth.
Correct.
Okay, regardless.
Which is forgiveness of sins.
Also to claim to sit in the place of God, you know, and to dictate and to change times and laws which belongs to God alone. So we looked at some of those statements. Charissa, do you want to share with me what you shared?
Well, I was listening to you and I remember I've written a quote in one of my Bibles from a Pope Leo. I couldn't remember the number, but I was like, I'm pretty sure Pope Leo said this, and I found it. It says, "We hold upon this earth the place of God Almighty," and typed it into the Google browser, and it brought up, it was from a papal encyclical from 1894 by Pope Leo XIII.
Wow. I'm telling you, more and more skeletons are coming out of the cupboard, folk. This is huge. This is huge.
So explain to the listeners why it's so huge.
This is so huge because in this encyclical, and I won't go and I won't try and read the Latin title of it. You can Google it and you can check it out. But what I discovered, which was also news to Charissa, was...
It has an English subtitle here, The Reunion of Christendom.
Actually, yeah, that's it. The Reunion of Christendom. Mm-hmm. And the essence of this encyclical was to call for the reunification of the Eastern and the Western churches.
Wow.
Unity. Pope Leo XIV is all about unity, building bridges. And this is his hero. This is why he chose the name and many other reasons. This is all now coming to the fore. This is absolutely huge. All right. It goes on. In this context, and I'm reading from the online summary of this encyclical. In this context, Pope Leo XIII emphasized the papal role as the earthly representative of divine authority. Notice these words now. Urging unity among Christians. It's all over. It's all over, as my friend Venice would say, based on this preacher in America that just says, it's over. It's over. It's all over. Yes. Like, this is huge. So as we put all these pieces together, Pope Leo XIV, and my friend Charissa's got a finger up, and she's going to have her say in just a moment, but Pope Leo XIV, the current pope, is from the United States of America. That's a first. He is taken on board this name of someone who brought out Rerum Novarum, which was all about workers' rights and the unions and so on and so forth, the whole Sabbath Sunday issue.
That was Pope Leo
XIII. Now in 1894, this encyclical on bringing about unity amongst the churches and being a bridge builder, peace and harmony and unity, it's all coming together. All right, Charissa, over to you.
I'm just reinforcing what you're saying because in his first address to the College of Cardinals after he was elected to Pontiff of Rome, he said in his speech, and I'm quoting from the from his speech, he said, Pope Francis masterfully and concretely set it forth in the apostolic exhortation, and I can't say the words, from which I would like to highlight several fundamental points. The return to the primacy of Christ and proclamation, the missionary conversion of the entire Christian community.
Wow.
Bring everybody together.
This is Pope Leo XIII back in 1894. Mm. So this, folk, is huge. Now I've got another one for you. Just check this out, hot off the press, okay? Pope Innocent III, all right? So this is not a Leo, this is an Innocent. Only God knows how innocent he was. But anyway, Pope Innocent III, they're the kind of titles that they used back then, referred to the Pope as the vicegerent upon earth, not a mere man, but of a very God.
Mm.
Highlighting the belief in the Pope's unique authority as Christ's representative. So this whole idea of vicar of Christ, you know, that serves as God's representative on earth, this is just straight out of Bible prophecy. This is blasphemy.
Mm.
No one other than the Holy Spirit represents us to God on this earth. Jesus said, I'm sending the comfort of the Holy Spirit. He will represent me. He'll be the one that you come through. You know, we come to Christ, but the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us, the Bible says, of righteousness, sin, and judgment to come.
So what was the quote about? I was looking at what vicegerent meant.
Yeah, vicegerent.
Yes.
Vicegerent.
I found it.
Yeah.
Is a person who acts in the place of ruler or sovereign.
That's right. So basically like a vicar, like the vicar of Christ, right. Someone who is in the place of, someone who represents. And the Bible is very clear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus said, I am leaving the Holy Spirit. He is my representative on this earth.
He may come.
Exactly. Exactly, and Jesus told him that was one of the last things he said to his disciples before he was caught up to heaven. You know, he said, "Go, don't go out and preach the gospel until you've been filled with power from on high." What's that power from on high? That dunamos. That was the Holy Spirit that fell on the day of Pentecost, and so the Holy Spirit represents Jesus Christ. He's the one that brings conviction and conversion to the human heart. Not any person, not any human institution. That is blasphemy.
Mm.
Because the Holy Spirit is God. He is the third person of the Godhead. So if you want to take the place and the position of the Holy Spirit, you're committing blasphemy.
Mm.
And in fact,
that can't be forgiven.
Forgiven. And I mean, you know, you've got, I mean, there's many cases in the New Testament. I'm just thinking of Ananias and Sapphira.
Mm.
You know, where Peter said to them, you have not lied to man, but you have lied to God in connection with the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Absolutely. Whoo, well. All right, back to the, that was huge. Folk, that wasn't my fault. That was Charissa's fault. That was powerful. And by the way, before we move off Revelation 13 and his first beast, the following reformers all identified this power as none other than the Roman papacy. Revelation 13, the first beast. Hugh Latimer, Ulrich Zwingli, Philip Melanchthon, John Knox, Thomas Cranmer, Nicholas Ridley, Martin Luther, John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, John Wesley, John Calvin, and John Huss.
And that's all because they approached Scripture, the way Scripture tells us to, with a historicist approach.
Indeed.
To interpreting Bible prophecy and unlocking its code.
Indeed. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to segue. We're going to leave America for next week because I'm just looking at the time and whatever, because I want to get to what you have prepared on historicism. And next week, we're going to deal with USA, and then we're going to go on some news headlines because I do want to get some news headlines in the last section of our program that really tie in with what's happening right now. So, yeah, over to you, Charissa. I've said enough for today.
Basically, as you just highlighted, no, don't keep talking, please. We like what you're saying. But like what you just highlighted, all the reformers came to the same conclusion as to the identity of this beast power of Revelation 13. So an interesting thing happens. There's a thing called the Counter-Reformation, and people can look this up in history books, but this was Rome's response to you know, the reformers are starting to speak up. They're starting to preach and mm-hmm. write. And so as they respond to the reformers, they had some effective strategies to try and disarm and destroy Protestantism. One was the formation of the Jesuit order, and the other was a few other things. But they also created different ways of interpreting Bible prophecy. So let me just read to you here. We have preterism, a thing called preterism, and then there's another school of thought called futurism. So, and then historicism is what you've just outlined for us, basically. But preterism basically says that everything that is mentioned in Bible prophecy, it was all fulfilled in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It's all past. Whereas futurism says everything in Bible prophecy is all related to the distant future. So it's not in any way connected to events that may be happening in the present here and now. But that's where historicism is different.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you summarize it? You said it in a sentence for me before, and I really like it.
Historicism begins with the prophet. Mm-hmm. who received the vision and makes its way through to the second coming and beyond, or to the end of that prophecy. So, for example, in Daniel, historicism, it begins with Daniel mm-hmm. and it begins with Babylon, and we go all the way through the kingdoms until we get the second coming of Jesus. So historicism begins with the prophet, and there is no gaps. It's a continual prophecy to the end of that prophecy. So there's no gaps.
Right.
Whereas futurism and preterism, is not like that. It's not continuous.
Gotcha. And you know, one thing that I read when I read Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus says, is it verse 18 that I'm in, but I want Revelation chapter 1. He says, verse 19, write the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. That seems to me to favor a historicist approach.
Absolutely. I haven't thought of that scripture. That's a really great scripture for that.
Bible prophecy.
Absolutely.
And so it's really important when people come to studying the Bible that they approach it from the right biblical angle, because if they don't, then you can end up with things like the beast was Nero, preterism, or you know, the beast in futurism is AI. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. it's going to come in the future, instead of actually following all the clues that the Bible has given to us, seeing those clues fulfilled in history and saying, actually no, the beast power, the papacy, fulfills all of those things, as all the reformers did during the Reformation. Then the same thing also then applies to how you would interpret the mark of the beast, or how you would read and understand what the Bible says about the millennium. So it's so important to approach it the right way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there is one other school of interpretation.
Yeah, I didn't realize this one. ChatGPT wrote this up. There's a school of thought called idealism, which is even more different to the others in the sense that it's a symbolic view. It sees the prophecies of Revelation and other apocalyptic texts as timeless spiritual truths, not tied to any specific historical events, past, present, or future. But as we just read in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, Jesus says, you know, these are the things which are and which will be after this. So he's speaking of definite things.
And absolutely.
Certainly when you read the Bible and you're looking at history as you do, you can't help but see the unavoidable, unmistakable evidence that, no, we have here in front of us in the Bible a sure word of prophecy.
Amen.
It has to be divinely inspired. Only God could know thousands of years of human history in advance like that, without a mistake.
Amen. Amen. So, and that's the only prophetic interpretation that makes sense. The historicist school of Bible prophecy. That's what the reformers use. That's what we use. And that's the only one that not only makes sense, but it helps you to understand where things are tending and also to have hope. This is the one to have hope.
Amen. Especially when you remember that the reason why the other schools were invented by the Jesuits was to disarm the Protestant Reformation, which was all about saying, hang on a minute, sola scriptura, let's get back to the Bible and the Bible only.
Yeah. So one school puts the Antichrist and what the Bible says about that in the past. The other one puts it well into the future, so you don't need to worry about it now, ladies and gentlemen. Mm. And isn't that just how the enemy works? The enemy works just like that. Don't worry about it. It's in the past. Or it's way out into the future. You just be happy and don't worry about things right now as they're happening under our very noses.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have much more to talk about. We're running out of time.
I can't believe it.
But stay with us, everyone. We still have to talk about some incredible news items.
Absolutely.
Right after this. So, yeah, let's stay tuned.
You're listening to Faith FM. Positively different radio.
Hey, it's Lyle here. There's nothing I love more than digging deep into the Bible, and I really love helping others understand God's Word. Every Thursday at 5 p.m, I have a segment on the Afternoons with Shell show where I answer all your Bible questions. Big or small, simple or hard, it will get answered. Whether you have a question you want to send in, or you just want to learn from others, tune in at 5 p.m. Thursday and text 0488880856.
Look up and lift your eyes. The future's open wide.
Ah, such a beautiful song interlude there. We are still looking up here and
indeed we are
running out of time.
Again.
So let's go for it.
All right. Okay. So, folk, just a reminder, next week we're going to deal with the United States in prophecy. We're going to unpack that in our Bible study. So that's what we'll be dealing with next week. We ran out of time today. We had Bubsy, which was really exciting to hear all about that. So anyway, in connection with what's been happening, once again, it's interesting that, we have another natural disaster that has taken place here in our very own part of the world, you know, at our doorstep. Sadly, Mid-North Coast, I lived there for 7 years, beautiful place there, Port Macquarie. So I know that place full well. And it was interesting what our Premier had to say, our New South Wales Premier, Chris Minns. He said, "We are getting more used to this."
Mm.
We're getting more used to this. And this tells us that Jesus is coming soon because those labor pains are intensifying, Charissa. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got a headline here, you know, 1 in 500 year flood event in the Mid-North Coast.
Interesting. We have some neighbors down the road. We're in a bit of a rural area down the road, and they own 600 acres. And on their acres, they have over 400 different cattle, livestock, and they had to move them all to higher ground. But the farmer that lives there, we got to chat with them, and they said that they've lived there 30 years, and in the 30 years that they've been there, the place has flooded like this three times. All three times are in the last 10 years,
wow.
And this was the worst time.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Interesting.
It is. And
as far as, you know, you've mentioned labor pains increasing, like things are getting more chaotic.
They certainly are. And, you know, in 2022, we had those horrible floods that impacted Lismore, you'll remember.
Yes, and, how can we forget?
And back then, you know, there was one headline, 1 in 100,000 year flood event. Like 100,000 years. One, it was that massive. It was huge. So, you know, people of Lismore, they would know firsthand. But all these things are telling us that things are wrapping up. And Jesus said, you know, when those labor pains get to the point where they're unbearable, just like a mother gives birth at that point, so too Jesus will come and rescue his people. So these are all signs that things are wrapping up. But there's also a supernatural element to these natural disasters. And we've talked about that, and you can read about that in that book, The Great Controversy, that Jeff read in a week, that I'd encourage everyone, because Satan is behind, I believe, a lot of these natural disasters that are increasing in frequency and intensity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we had time, you know, we would read from that book, page 590. I know exactly where it is because I read it so often. It's like, wow, this is happening before our very eyes, and we are seeing this taking place, and this is all bringing us to that final showdown. So, and speaking of that final showdown, next week we're going to be taking a look at the United States in prophecy, but the United States, as always, is on the front lines of the news headlines each and every week. And I just want to say, Charissa, that things, and by the way, I've got a Bible study on the United States of America in Boolaroo Church tomorrow at our group Bible study at 6:30. So anyone around Boolaroo tomorrow, come along to the Boolaroo Seventh-day Adventist Church, 6:30, and we'll be dealing with the United States in Bible prophecy. So you're welcome to come along. Now, things are really heating up between Israel, Iran, and the USA. Watch this space. Unfortunately, unless the Lord intervenes and pulls back, you know, unless the Lord intervenes and continues to hold those winds of strife, we're at a point where Iran is threatening Israel. If America allows Israel, or if America decides to bomb their nuclear facilities that they are establishing, Israel is adamant that Iran's nuclear facilities have to go. Iran is not willing to let go of them because they see that as their leverage in this whole scenario. Things are horrible there in Gaza. You know, don't have time to get into all of it today, but just things are just so out of control. There's so much tension between America, Europe, in the Middle East, so much tension. And Donald Trump, he's trying to go here, there, and everywhere, and trying to be a peacemaker here, peacemaker there, and trying to make a deal here. But he appeases one group, and he gets the other group offside and upset. So this is telling me that there will sadly be some serious chaos there in the Middle East in the not too distant future, unless God intervenes.
Yes.
And so this tells us that Jesus coming is drawing ever near. And there was a really sad, really sad situation where a pediatrician there working in Gaza with 10 children, she had her home bombed in an Israeli airstrike, and out of 10 children, she lost 9. She's a pediatrician in the hospital there. She's devoted her life to looking after children, and one of her children survived. He was injured, but he survived. The father barely survived. So the father survived, and one of the children survived. 9 of her 10 children passed away.
I can't even begin to process her pain.
Yeah. So this is how heartbreaking the situation is over there. And, you know, I don't know how much longer God will allow this kind of sin and suffering to go on, because God has a red line.
Yeah.
We know that.
There is a limit beyond which
there is.
He won't allow.
I mean, look, the days of Noah, the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, God will one day call time. And so, folk, we need to be praying. We need to be praying for this to take place. And, you know, there was a young Jewish couple from the Israeli embassy there in Washington that was gunned down, you know, just this past week. And, you know, this just shows the hatred, the tension out there. And that Jesus alone can bring unity, harmony, peace, and love. He alone. There is nothing else that can, Charissa. Nothing else that can. So onto some other things. Just as I pointed out, it's not just there in the Middle East. We've got we've got the situation obviously with Ukraine and Russia, and that is really also just boiling. Boiling. There doesn't seem to be any way forward, because neither side wants to give in. There's the Europeans on one side, the Americans on the other. And so once again, when they cry peace and safety, that scripture comes to mind, because that's where we're heading to. And I believe the supernatural will be very much part of that final end time scenario. So in connection with that, and especially with what's happening in America, there's been some very, very interesting headlines that are coming out of Texas.
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to tell us what's been happening in Texas in the last few days that is of interest when it comes to Bible prophecy?
Oh, well, big things, as would be appropriate with Texas. But maybe you can help us with this. Texas lawmakers, there's a bill that they're debating at the moment on the Ten Commandments, a Texas state bill that would require public schools to post donated placards of the Ten Commandments created an ironic moment in a debate just a couple of days ago. And it was fascinating to watch the debate. For those who thought, should I read a bit more?
Yeah, go for it.
For those who thought the United States would never legislate a Sunday law, this Saturday, while most Sabbath keepers were worshiping, the Texas legislature was debating a law requiring public schools to post the Ten Commandments. You can watch a video about it. 19 other states are putting forward similar bills. Louisiana passed...
How many?
19.
19, wow.
Louisiana passed a Ten Commandment law in 2024. There's nothing inherently wrong with students being aware of historical global influence of the Ten Commandments in Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, and how the Decalogue has impacted the legal systems around the world. But I guess what's interesting here is the line of reasoning that was brought forward. And do you have the transcript of that?
No, I don't.
Oh.
It is fascinating. I sent it to Charissa.
It is. But, yeah, the Texas House did vote to approve a version of the bill that will go into effect in September, but the law must still overcome several challenges between now and then. So, yeah, clearly what the Bible says and what prophecy indicates is possible. It's actually being talked about, like things that would trend that way in the future. It's very, very amazing.
You know, the things that we were reading in this book, The Great Controversy, are now coming into place. They're mm-hmm. coming into place. And you remember I shared a statement from that author of The Great Controversy, Ellen White, where she was encouraging the preachers in her day, more than a century ago, to be speaking on the things that we're speaking of because they were seeking to bring in religion into the public school system. Do you remember that statement?
Yes.
I shared that, you know, a number of weeks ago. And so now we're looking to bring in religion into the public school system. It's a repetition.
Yes.
Just like Pope Leo the 14th is more and more of a clone of mm-hmm. Pope Leo the 13th, we now have, from the church state point of view, the things that were happening more than 100 years ago that were in the mix when Pope Leo the 13th was the Pope, and that Sunday law mm-hmm. was issued. Well, the Sunday law was being debated in Congress in 1888. The same sequence of events is happening that back now. Back then, it was in connection with, the movements in connection with, you know, getting rid of alcohol and morality and everything. And guess what it's in connection with today? Bringing back morality into society and beginning there in the school system. It's like a replica. You've got something to say, a lot to say.
It's just amazing what you've just said, but even following the line of reasoning that they used in this Texas debate when they were debating it, because the guy who's debating it, he says, you know, the irony is we want to put the Ten Commandments in schools and we're debating it on the seventh day Sabbath.
Yeah.
And he actually makes a big deal about the Sabbath and he says, yeah, we're going to push it on people and we ourselves are not going to keep the Sabbath holy. It's like, it was fascinating to see him using those arguments in this debate.
This is fascinating. And so you're saying there's 19 states,
that's
according
what
to what
I
you've read.
Yeah.
I have got a February 27, mm-hmm. 2025, so just a few months ago, a headline here, and it's from this website called Stateline. Mm-hmm. And the headline, listen to this, eyeing a friendly Supreme Court, Republicans push for the Ten Commandments in schools. Mm. It's just, and then the subtitle, it's just one of the ways lawmakers are trying to insert Judeo-Christian doctrine into public education. And they're saying how things have changed, and with a Supreme Court that is stacked in favor of conservatives. We're going to see how all this plays out because all these Ten Commandment laws that are being passed in state legislatures, guess where they're all going to be heading?
Where?
To the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Wow. So we're going to wait for the first one to hit the Supreme Court. So the first one hasn't hit the Supreme Court. The Louisiana, the first one from last year. Isn't it interesting? There was one last year that went through. And now there's 19 lining up in 2025.
That is amazing.
That's ridiculous.
That is amazing.
So we can see this escalation. And you've talked about this agitation. It's in the book, The Great Controversy.
Yeah.
There will be more and more of an agitation for this kind of thing. And it says, let me just read to you a little bit here. It says, testing constitutional limits, Republicans in at least 15 states, and that's up to 19. This was back in February, have introduced legislation this year that would require the Ten Commandments be displayed in public school classrooms. GOP, that is Republican lawmakers, are attempting to follow Louisiana, which you've already pointed out, which last year became the first state in the country to have such a requirement in the modern era. That law is currently blocked in 5 public school districts as a lawsuit makes its way through the courts. Other districts are expected to comply with the law. Okay, and it talks about, you know, making its way through to the United States Supreme Court. And so we're going to see how this plays out, but with a court that is stacked 6-3 in favor of the conservatives, and Donald Trump put 3 in that were conservative, and stacked with Catholics. Roman Catholics stack the U.S. Supreme Court. There's at least 6 or potentially 7, it could be 7 Roman Catholics that are on the United States Supreme Court. And it's interesting, in 1980, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that Kentucky's law requiring the display of the Ten Commandments in public schools was unconstitutional. That's in 1980. 45 years on, they're bringing it back. That's because this time they believe they have a big shot at getting it through, because times have changed in the United States Supreme Court. Because in 2022, the Supreme Court's conservative majority, and I'm reading from the article here, ruled in favor of a Washington State public school football coach who prayed with his team on the 50-yard line. You remember that? Yes. And it was said he could do that. In a public school, he could pray. It was not violating the First Amendment of the Constitution. I can't wait. It's going to be interesting to see which way this... And I'm not a prophet or a son of a prophet, but I do have the name of a prophet. If the United States rules in favor of the Ten Commandments being brought into the public school system, this is going to be the opening of the door to bigger
floodgates,
bigger prophetic developments on the near horizon.
Wow.
Well, you heard it first here on the Looking Up Show.
Thank you for that, Danny. I'm very excited to see where all this goes. Amazing time to be alive.
Indeed.
Well...
What can I say?
I think you've said enough.
I've said more than enough.
We're going to listen to Nathan Pacheco. Oh, no, Pacheco. Bring to us Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. And then Danny will have some more things to say as we wrap up today's program right after this beautiful song.
My chains are gone.
God truly does have amazing love and amazing grace, and he extends that to every single one of us because he's just so amazing. We have come to the end of our program.
Can't believe it. Can't believe it.
I believe it. I can't believe it. We did go very fast, and just during that break, we had a listener, Jackie.
Oh, yes.
She's been sending. She's been excited with us about the things she's been hearing. She said, "Hey, guys, love the show. There is also some movement with the trade unions in the U.S. and the organization of national strikes. This parallels with May Day strikes in late 1800s for reduced working hours, which Pope Leo XIII was a supporter. Was supported. And we know Pope Leo XIV is a supporter of unions. Great observation, Jackie. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, there's so much going on, Jackie. You are right. And, you know, I think of this, the theme song, our big camp, the Sabelle, you know, our friend Sabelle, who's just a wonderful musician that she put together that we were singing every night, and it was entitled Almost Home. Almost Home. Almost Home, you know, beautiful original song that she composed, all about the second coming. We're almost home, folk. Amen. And that's why the show is called The Looking Up Show.
Yes.
Where Jesus said, when you see all these things come to pass, carry on with.
Look up.
Because
lift up your head, because your redemption draws nigh.
Amen. So we're seeing this all happening before our very eyes. This is telling us that Jesus' coming is drawing ever near. We need to get the message out. We need to get that book, The Great Controversy, out. If you haven't read it, please read it.
And
read
if you can't read, listen.
And I'm listening to it each and every morning these days when I walk my beautiful little dog, Gracie or Disgracie. Let me read to you this statement from that book, The Great Controversy. Listen to this. Written more than a century ago, page 446, when the leading churches of the United States, we've been talking about that, uniting upon such points of doctrine as are held by them in common. So what would they be? Marriage and the family in connection with, you know,
Sunday sacredness,
outlawing abortion.
State of, like, what happens when you die.
What happens when you die, gender ideology and so on and so forth. When they shall unite under common doctrines. Notice it goes on. They shall influence the state to enforce their decrees, the Ten Commandments, in public school classrooms, and to sustain their institutions. Then, she goes on, Protestant America will have formed an image to the Roman hierarchy, that's this church-state union, and, she goes on, the infliction of civil penalties upon dissenters will inevitably result. That is where the train is going.
So did you just read that when it gets enforced in public schools?
Yeah. No. She's saying when we see the agitation, when churches are uniting upon such points of doctrines as are held by them in common, like with the Ten Commandments, then we know, and they're seeking for the state to enforce their decrees, which we are seeing right now.
Yeah, that's what you
got. She says, then we may know that the state and the church coming together will bring about civil penalties upon those who do not go along with that final showdown. So that's where we are. Well, so we are there. We are there. The mark of the beast crisis is literally on our doorstep.
And that means Jesus.
That means Jesus comes, because that's what happens straight after that.
That's
so
right.
You need to pray for us, sister. You need we need a lot of prayer.
We do. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Bible prophecy. Thank you that we can know what these things, because you've shared them with us, because you care about us and you love us. I pray for every listener. I pray that you would bless them as they continue to study the Bible, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, may we be ready when Jesus comes, and not only us, but our loved ones and families too. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. And this week I'm going to be at Memorial Church, dealing with American prophecy.
All right.
Saturday morning, 11 o'clock.
You do not want to miss it. I'm sure it's
American Apocalypse. Showdown. Countdown to the final showdown.
He's going to have a lot to say. Well, until then, remember, fear looks around, regret looks back, but faith always looks up. Keep looking up. May God bless you all, and we look forward to your company same time next week. Take care.
We have this hope that burns within our hearts, hope in the coming of the Lord. We have this faith that Christ
Christ alone imparts. Faith in the promise of His Word. We believe the time is here when the nations far and near shall awake and shout and sing, Alleluia, Christ is King. We have this hope that burns within our hearts, hope in the coming of the